Hello and good evening. You're listening to Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM 97.7. My name is Michael and I am coming to you from my locked down home here in Dundalk. I hope everyone who is tuning in is doing well. We've got a very interesting show for you tonight. Kevin is not able to join me, but I am joined by a very special guest, Doug Van Dorn, who has probably joined us more times than any other guest we have had. So Doug, thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Well, like I said before the song, we are joined by Doug Van Dorn, who is the pastor of the Reformed Baptist Church of Northern Colorado. He is the author of several books, including The Five Solas of the Reformation, Giants, The Sons of Gods, and many, many others. He's just published very recently, in the past couple weeks, a new book called Conspiracy Theory, A Christian Evaluation of a Taboo Subject. So, Doug, I'm just going to jump right into it and start off with the question, why this book and why now?
Yeah, I mean, the great question. I've been thinking about writing this book for many, many years, just for various reasons in my own life and interests of mine and X-Files and all kinds of weird things. And, you know, not a lot of Christians want to talk about this subject, but, you know, the last 2 months, obviously, everything's changed. And I think it feels very strange to a lot of people what's happening with the virus. And a lot of people think that things just don't seem right. Something's a little bit off. And so everybody's talking about conspiracy theories. I mean, finally, we've got even professors and you know, doctors of the church and stuff actually willing to at least write about it or talk about it in some way, shape or form. And so I wanted to throw my voice in and I wanted to write it for a long time, but nothing came out. And then as soon as I get locked down, it all came out.
Well, I mean, what's been amazing to me is I have never seen, granted, I've not lived a long life. I mean, I'm almost 40, but I have never seen a time where it's just everybody seems to be talking about conspiracies and conspiracy theories. I mean, it's not just people who are kind of into that, but there are Christians who are discussing it in seminaries. There's different media outlets. People just seem to be thinking in these terms right now, which just fascinates me.
Yeah, so like the subtitle, it's not a fringe topic. I could have wrote that. I said it's a taboo topic.
Yeah,
everybody is talking about it. Everybody's thinking about it, but nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to talk about it. So it needs to happen.
Right. All right, well, let's start off then by, can you give us a definition of what is a conspiracy and then what is a conspiracy theory and how do those differ from one another?
So a conspiracy is just a plot against someone done in secret, usually with more than one person involved. So there's secrecy, you know. Conspiracies happen all the time. You can have a big conspiracy or a little conspiracy. You can have a conspiracy in your family against a family member or, you know, a boss is conspiring to oust a employee. I mean, all kinds of things like that. Those kind of conspiracies happen all the time.
Well, anytime you have kids, there's always a conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
I feel like they're always plotting against me.
And it's always more than one of them.
It's always more than one. That's right.
So the bigger question is, do big conspiracies happen like on a national level or, you know, level of a deep state or kings or whatever? And so that's really what we're talking about when we talk about conspiracy theories, I think. So that phrase also has the word theory in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it gets interesting. The conspiracy part's not the big thing, but the theory part is. So you can look at a theory as in one of two different ways. You can look at it through the realm of science. So you have something you're investigating in science and you come up with a hypothesis. So that's a theory. Mm-hmm. And then you have certain things that you have to measure and figure out and be able to falsify it and test it and see if it's legitimate or not. And then if it's not, you throw it out. If it is, that becomes the dominating theory. That's a good way of viewing the word theory. And actually, scholars have argued that was the main way that the idea of a conspiracy theory was used for most of American history, that it was a good thing. People that would engage in conspiracy theories were actually using their minds and trying to understand the world around them and They weren't just accepting everything that they saw. And so thinking rational people of the Enlightenment were conspiracy theorists. It didn't have the negative connotations it does now. There's a second way of thinking about the word theory, which is the idea of speculation. And speculation is, it could be good or it could be bad. So if it's an unfounded speculation or a speculation rooted in nothing but your own imagination, that's where I think the phrase has gone in more recent days. And there's actually a whole conspiracy theory about why that has happened. It isn't really a conspiracy theory. It's just the truth, and it has to do with the American CIA and them trying to suppress what they call conspiracy theories over the assassination of John F. Kennedy back in the 60s. And they actually came out with an entire manual, a psychological operation that you can find online, because of the Freedom of Information Act, that tells you that they are trying to deal with the speculation by putting down those horrible conspiracy theorists, and then they would use things like magazines and book reviews and other forms of communication back in those days to thwart anybody who wouldn't toe the party line.
Right, right. So if you're kind of presenting in the book, okay, we'll get more into the book in just a minute, but here's what a conspiracy is. Here's what the conspiracy theories maybe are, how they come up. Are you trying to present the material to people who are already convinced that they are in existence, or is this a book to attempt to get people who may not be thinking about it into the discussion?
So I wanted it to be for everybody, anybody who's thinking about a conspiracy theory in any way, shape, or form. So that could be somebody who's deep into them and, you know, they find themselves obsessing over them, or it could be somebody who thinks that there are no such things. And so this is not a book that goes into different conspiracy theories and says this one's right, this one's wrong. That I would never write something like that. This is a book to help people think about the subject.
Right.
And, you know, kind of towards the end of the book, I talk about how there's dangers in thinking about conspiracy theories, and there's actually dangers in not thinking about conspiracy theories. So I look at it as a book for anybody who has this subject on their mind. I think it can be helpful for them.
Well, we are going to go to our second song. And before we continue on in our discussion with Doug Van Dorn about his book, Conspiracy Theory, and we're going to be listening to a song by Matt Boswell called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. All right. So you mentioned in that last segment about how, you know, conspiracy theory, I guess that phrase kind of came from the CIA during the time of the JFK assassination. Is that the first time that we see
it?
Well,
let me interrupt you there.
Okay.
It didn't come from them. That's actually a common mistake people make. They think the CIA made it up. They didn't.
Okay.
The phrase goes way back.
The actual phrase conspiracy theory.
The phrase itself goes back, and it wasn't used in a malicious way like it is today.
Right.
It was used in a negative way, right? But not maliciously. And I think that's the difference, is the CIA, they changed the way that the phrase was used, and they did it very deliberately so that now it becomes a put down or a thought stopper or something that just makes somebody look foolish. All you have to do is say the word conspiracy theorist and you've won the argument.
So I guess in light of that, do you think then that there is a conspiracy to portray conspiracy theories as kind of crazies? Is that part of what that was all
absolutely.
About? That's part of
absolutely.
That was
about. And it's not speculation. Like, they actually write this in their own documentation.
Right. All right. Well, let's. I guess this. I mean, this question kind of ultimately has a theological answer to it. But why do people plot conspiracies?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, part of it's the human heart. I mean, the human heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Like Jeremiah says, and so that's part of it. We just have a propensity to evil ourselves. But you could have a good conspiracy or a bad conspiracy. If there's a leadership over you that's wicked and you want to try and overthrow it, that could be a good conspiracy. Or if you're just trying to do something that's evil, you need to find a way to do it. You conspire with other people, and and to carry it out that way.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I think perhaps we've even bought into the presentation of conspiracy as being always bad. Oh, you're talking about a conspiracy that has to be, that's a negative thing. But you're right. I mean, if there is an evil king and people are conspiring to overthrow him to bring about justice, well, I guess that could be considered a good conspiracy. They're
trying to do so because it's done in secret and it's a plot against somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, one of the things you mentioned in your book is this idea of falsifiability. How do you see falsifiability as an important test for, I guess, conspiracy theories?
So I don't know if you can falsify every conspiracy theory. That's where, like, if it's just purely speculative and you don't have anything to go on, it's just something that you're coming up with in your head or somebody else's, it really kind of gets at the idea of what is truth. Mm. And so before I talk about falsifiability, I talk about what does it mean for something to be true. And one of the things that's fascinated me about a lot of conspiracy theories is that they're like these huge coherent things. So like A goes to B and B goes to C and C goes to D. And it's this chain that all coheres. Mm. But at some point in time, they usually go back to like Z goes back to A and you end up in a circle and you never have any way of actually verifying anything right. in that circle with reality. And so coherence isn't enough. You also have to have it correspond to reality. It has to be true. It has to be real.
Right.
So a good conspiracy theory will engage in things that you can prove that are factual and you can test them scientifically and those kinds of things. And I think that's where the falsifiability thing can happen. It can happen in the realm of science. And then if something ends up leaking out, it could be falsified. A good example would, in fact, just actually happened this last week. So in the United States, General Flynn was conspired against. Mm-hmm. And on CNN and MSNBC and all the major media conglomerates in the United States, they threw out the word conspiracy theorist to anybody who would dare say that Flynn was innocent.
Right.
And there's a whole montage you can watch of this. And then last week, he was exonerated.
Yeah,
and papers are coming out that it was actually the FBI that conspired against him. So, in other words, it was falsified. Now, right. That doesn't mean everybody's going to believe it, but they're going to continue to spin the web of lies. But at some point in time, I think that these things end up seeing the light of day. Mm. It might take many, many years, but at some point in time, they will.
Do you think just one falsifiable element disproves the entire theory, or does there have to be a greater, like a particular level of demonstration of falsehood before the entire theory crumbles? Or can you have, okay, here's one element that's wrong, but that doesn't mean everything is wrong?
Yeah, that's what I would think. Like, especially the bigger the conspiracy theory, the more of these things that you could falsify one part of it, and maybe that was a speculative thing that was wrong, but maybe the overall theory itself can still hold weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I tend to think, yeah.
Well, we're going to go to our ad break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Doug Van Dorn, and we're going to be looking at the question, how should Christians think about conspiracy theories? Should they be involved in maybe posting their thoughts on social media regarding theories? But we'll come back to that right after the ad break.